Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa kafaa wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in wa man sanna sunnatahu wa ihtada bihadihi ila yawmiddin amma ba'du fa a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem bismillahir rahmanir rahim tabarakalladhi biyadihil mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور صدق الله العظيم My dear and respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear brothers and sisters, Suratul Mulk is the first surah of the 29th juz. And there are many virtues and fazail of the surah. Among them, one is that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said to the nearest meaning that a person who will memorize these 30 ayahs, because Suratul Mulk has 30 ayahs, so a person who will memorize these 30 ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from the azab and from the punishment of grave, of qabr. So this is a very important hadith, because by memorizing Suratul Mulk, you know, one could be protected from the azab and the punishment of qabr. And my dear brothers and sisters, remember that the azab or the punishment of qabr is a reality, is haqq, but at the same time, qabr is the first step in the journey of akhirah. So a sahabi radiallahu anhu said that if the first step in the journey of akhirah is correct, then the next steps would be correct as well. But if the first step is wrong, then the rest of the steps would be wrong. So in other words, when a person's life in qabr, in grave, is peaceful, then inshallah on the day of hashr, he will be peaceful and he will have entry into Jannah. Therefore, to memorize Suratul Mulk and to keep on reading it, you know, especially at the time of going to bed, this is something of great importance. And as I said, that this surah has only 30 ayahs. That's it. It's not a very lengthy surah. It has only 30 ayahs. But look at the reward, that you will be protected from the azab and the punishment of qabr. So this surah, Suratul Mulk, is the first surah of 29 juz. So brothers and sisters, I know that most of you have memorized Suratul Mulk, but if somebody had not yet memorized, then he should memorize Suratul Mulk in the first opportunity, with this belief that inshallah I will be protected from the punishment of qabr. Now then, if you look into the meaning of, or meanings of the ayat of Suratul Mulk, alhamdulillah brothers, it's like an ocean of knowledge. You know, Suratul Mulk is talking about the signs of Allah's greatness. You know, a very amazing surah. But again, brothers, this ayah or this surah is amazing only for those people who want to learn from Quran. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had filled this surah as well as all the other surahs of Quran with so many lessons to be learned, that you will keep on learning and the meaning of the ayat of Quran will still not be completely covered. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Quran have said that Quran is a book that till the day of judgment, the ajaib of this book will not end. Meaning you will not feel that you have known or you have understood this book. The more you will learn about Quran, The more you will learn about the meaning of the ayat of Quran, the more this feeling will come in your heart that you still do not know anything about Quran.
No.
You see, so my dear brothers and sisters, you start learning about Quran and you will see that you are ignorant. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, even if you read the Arabic, the most medieval tafasir of Quran, right? These big imams who wrote these books, whether it's Imam Ibn Kathir, right? Or Imam Zamakhshari or Imam Razi and all these big imams that have written so much about Quran. You will find that at the end of that, they say that, you know, I'm still completely, they say I'm jahil, I'm completely ignorant about the meaning of the ayat of Quran. Because so much to learn about Quran. It's like a sea that doesn't have any bottom. You know. So, read brother Surat al-Mulk, learn the meaning of the ayat of Surat al-Mulk, and inshallah you will be amazed to know how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put here in this, how much meaning Allah have put in the Surat al-Mulk. For example, just look at this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. Subhanallah. Allah said, verily I have decorated, زَيَّنَّا, I have decorated السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا, the sky of this world, with lamps. بِمَصَابِيح, meaning the stars, Allah is calling them lamps. Right? The word misbah means lamp. Masabih is the plural of the word misbah. So Allah is saying, you see these lamps burning at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I say that I had put these lamps on the sky so that when you look at the sky, you know, you feel good, you feel amazed. You consider the sky at night to be beautiful. And then وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these are lamps for you, for human beings, to look and enjoy. But these are stars. And these stars are preventing the khabith jinns from ascending. So each time a jinn, a khabith jinn, tries to go beyond the star, the stars chase him down. Allah said, وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Jahannam, talks about Jannah in this surah. So brother, we need to learn about it. Then after Surat al-Mulk is Surat al-Qalam. Now in Surat al-Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned one great ayah about the akhlaq of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that great ayah about the akhlaq of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that Allah said, "Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim." That no doubt you, meaning Rasulullah sallam, no doubt you have great akhlaq. Meaning the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallam is great. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally kind of giving this certificate to Rasulullah sallam that your akhlaq is great. And my dear brother and sister, we keep on talking about the importance of akhlaq in Islam. So we need to understand that Islam is nothing but akhlaq. The real thing is akhlaq. You know, because when a person's akhlaq is good, he's a good Muslim. When a person's akhlaq is not good, he is not a good Muslim. Therefore, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have emphasized upon ibadat so much that he said that if you are not praying salah, you are not one among us. Right? And he said about Hajj that if you are not going for Hajj in spite of having the capability to go for Hajj, so I don't care whether you died as a Yahudi or a Nasrani or a Majusi. Meaning, he said that, you know, once Hajj becomes fard, go. Go and do Hajj. Same thing with Zakat and fasting. Right? But our Rasulullah in no hadith have told us that if you pray Salah regularly and on time and with long rakahs, then this is a guarantee that you are a good Muslim. Rasulullah did not say that. So you have to understand that the emphasis is on Salah, Zakat, Hajj and Saum, right? But this will not make you a good Muslim. It is important, it is fall upon you. You have no option but to do it. But my dear brothers and sisters, just praying Salah, Zakat, Hajj and Saum will not make you a good Muslim. What will make you a good Muslim is that along with Salah, Zakat, Hajj and Saum, you have good akhlaq. You see, when you are good to Allah, same way you have to be good to human beings. You know, you cannot be good to Allah but bad to human beings. You cannot be a good Muslim. It's not possible. You know, similarly, you cannot be good to human beings but bad to Allah. You have to understand that Islam is that you should be good to Allah and good to human beings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that you have to have good akhlaq. Akhlaq is what makes you a good human being. If you have razil akhlaq, if you have bad character, bad manners, then remember brothers and sisters, you cannot be good with Allah either. You see, this is why in Quran Allah said, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Allah said, oh people, first learn how to talk good to people. In Surah Baqarah, Allah is saying, learn how to talk nicely with people. And then Allah said, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ, and establish salah and give zakat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I and all of us to first have this good akhlaq, that you are, when I present myself to you, you know, I am presenting myself to you in such a way that you feel comfortable in my company. And I feel comfortable in your company. We have mutual love, we have mutual respect. And you know, we are not hurting each other either with our tongue, meaning a speech, or with our hands. So what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man salimal muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi, that person is a real Muslim, a mu'min, from whose tongue and from whose hand people feel safe. You see, people feel safe. So my dear brother and sister, when you are praying salah, mashallah, is important. What you are doing is awesome. But at the same time, you have to understand that your dealing with people is as important as praying salah. You see, in some instances, you know, your dealing with human beings become more important than your dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is when, you know, you did not pray salah, al-ayadu billah, let's say you overslept. Right? Or you were planning to pray salah, but something happened and you just completely forgot. The time for salah passed. Then you realize that I did not pray salah. Right? So, all you have to do is to say istighfar and tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray qada. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Why? Because our Rasulullah alayhi wasallam said, Al-Khata wal Nisyan. Mistakes and forgetfulness are two things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written that I am not going to do mu'akhaza from this ummah. Meaning Allah will forgive you. For example, you are fasting, right? And by mistake, you drank water. Right? It happened in the early days of Ramadan. First Ramadan, second Ramadan. Then you get used to. So don't worry. Rasulullah said, don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you drink or eat. Continue fasting. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. So whether it is salah, you made mistake or you forgot, or it is fasting or any huquq with Allah, once you make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Right? So, but sometimes, brother, what happens is that if your dealings with human beings are wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ready to forgive you. Remember, his salah, Allah forgives you if you make tawbah. But if you are dealing with people is wrong, then you will not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless that person forgives. Brothers and sisters, sometimes this is so important that even if that person is a sahabi, do you understand, brothers and sisters? A sahabi regarding whom Allah has said, radiallahu anhu wa radhu anhu, a sahabi, if his dealing, brothers and sisters, if his dealing is bad to human beings, you know, that person, al-ayadu billah, becomes very much a hateful person in the eyes of Allah, even if he's a sahabi. And even if that sahabi is close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand whom I am referring to? That famous sahabi, right? Arqam. Yeah, Arqam, radiallahu anhu. Very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Excellent worshipper. You know, excellent. You just name it, a sahabi, of course, in Masjid Nabi all the time. You know, whenever Rasulullah will go in jihad, he's there with Rasul. Everyone, you just name it. All good act, he's in the front. Right? But my dear brother and sister, Allah showed to us that his dealing with his mother was wrong. So remember that story? I don't want to go into it. So his dealing with his mother was wrong. That one day, his mother was so much heartbroken that she said to herself, and this is between her and Allah, she said that I am never going to forgive my son. So now he's dying. Right? Young man dying. Right? Sahaba are doing talqeen, that brother say la ilaha illallah, brother say la ilaha illallah, brother say la ilaha illallah. And they are stunned, surprised, shocked that a sahabi of Rasulullah is dying without kalima. And these senior sahaba are there, they're saying, brother say kalima la ilaha illallah. People are reading Yasin to him, talqeen la ilaha illallah. And this young man, this young sahabi, you know, he is trying. But that something is holding his tongue. You see, sahaba went running to Rasulullah sallam, and he said that, Ya Rasulullah, this is the story. Amazing. So Rasulullah sallam understood that something is wrong. Then Rasulullah sallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel that this is the matter. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brother, think, could have made that sahabi read the kalima? Allah, inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadeer. Allah could have made it? No. This is, brother, what you and I need to learn, wallahi, brothers. Allah could have made the sahabi read the kalima and die. But Allah did not do it. Allah informed Rasulullah sallam that this is the matter. So Rasulullah sallam called his mother, that sahabi's mother, and asked that mother to forgive her son. She said that, O Prophet of Allah, if you order me anything to do, I will do, but not this. Allah. He had given preference to his wife over me. He would insult me in front of his own, in front of his wife. If I will ask for something, he will say, I have no time. But when his wife will ask for anything, no matter how tired he is, even if he had come back from work, he'll say, no problem, I'll go in. And if I'll say, beta, can you go and get me a water? She'll say, go and get it for yourself, I'm tired. But when the wife will say, go to the bazaar and get me this, he'll say, no problem. So she said that, no, O Prophet Allah, if you tell me anything else to do, I'll do, but not this, I'm sorry. Rasulullah sallam did not feel bad. Rasulullah understood that things are really bad in the family. So as that mother was going, and then she said, let him die without kalima. I'm not going to forgive. As she was going away from Rasulullah Rasulullah as Rahmatul Lil Alameen as he was, he wanted that mother to change her decision. So this time he tried another way. And that is that he said to Sahaba that, oh my companions, bring wood, lit a huge fire, and I'm going to throw this young man in that fire. So mother is a mother. So she stopped. She said, whom are you going to throw in that fire? Rasulullah said that your son. Why? Rasulullah said, don't you know that the fire of Jahannam is much, much, much more hot than the fire of this world? And if your son will die without saying kalima, he is going to go to hell. So Rasulullah gave this message to the mother. The mother was standing quiet in front of Rasulullah. And then she started crying. Then finally she said to Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, be a witness that I am forgiving my son. My dear brothers and sisters, this is something to note. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah did was that the moment mother said that, Ya Rasulullah, be a witness, I am forgiving my son, in the house, on his deathbed, the Sahabi was lying, and here, the mother said, I forgive him. There he said, Kalima La ilaha illallah. And then he passed away after saying the Kalima La ilaha illallah. Brother, what lesson does it teach us? Brother, you're dealing with people. Of course, parents are at the top of our list. After Allah, it's of our parents who enjoy the most hukuk of us. But at the same time, my dear brother and sister, our dealing with every human being, even a Yahudi, a Hindu, a Buddhist, an atheist, it doesn't matter that person's religion. Your dealing, you will be held responsible for your dealing. Some people out of ignorance say that if I cheat the bank, if I cheat the credit company, if I cheat a Hindu, if I cheat a Yahudi, a Christian, so they are non-Muslims. So it should be okay. They are so dumb. They don't understand that everybody will be held responsible of his action. When you will go in your qabr, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah will not ask you about Yahud, Nasara. Allah will not ask you about your children. No, Allah will ask you about yourself. So if you have cheated people, you know, Allah will hold you responsible. Allah said, وَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقُلْ لِي عَمَلِي وَلَكُمْ عَمَلُكُمْ. O Muhammad Sallam, tell these people that I have my amal and you have your amal. Antum bari'una mimma a'mal wa ana bari'un mimma ta'malun. You are free from what I do and I am free from what you do. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you wrong people, right? When you wrong people, you need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ayadu Billah, Summa Al-Ayadu Billah, might prevent you from saying Kalima La ilaha illallah at the time of your death. This story that I'm telling you, my dear brothers and sisters, think about it. It's a very powerful story. It's a Sahih Hadith. That a Sahabi was unable to say the Kalima till his mom forgave him. A Sahabi. Radiallahu anhu wa radu anhu. Wa kullam wa'adallahu al-husna. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ أَمْهَا. Who are you and I in front of a Sahabi? We're not the dust of their feet. But when he was unable to say the kalima, why? Because he wronged his mom. Right? Till his mom forgave, he was unable to say the kalima. Yes, once her mom forgave him, he said the kalima, La ilaha illallah. Again, I will repeat, brothers and sisters, Allah could have made the Sahabi say the kalima in spite of his mom not forgiving him. But Allah did not do it. This is the sunnat of Allah. Allah in Quran said, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. Allah said, I have made rules and I don't break those rules myself. Allah doesn't break His own rules. He has set the rules. Right? For example, Allah can take the sun out from the west and make it set in the east. Allah can do it. But for billions of years, Allah had not done it. Sun still comes from the east, sets in the west. That is the sunnah of Allah. Allah said, I have made this rule and I myself follow these rules. So my dear brothers and sisters, Allah could have made the Sahabi say the kalima. Allah said, no, I will not go against the rule. Even if he is a Sahabi, if he has done wrong, until that human being, and in this case his mom, will forgive him, he cannot say the kalima. My dear brothers and sisters, you do not know in which condition you will die. If you have wronged people, if you have broken their hearts, if you have taken that money not and you have not given that money back, after the death of your parents, if you have not done the distribution of warasat properly, if you took some money, some property that belonged to your sister or brother, and you by force you confiscated their share, you know, brothers and sisters, this is something which only at the time of your death you will know whether you are going to say the kalima or not. So what I'm saying is that in many instances, you know, huququl ibad becomes more important than huququllah. Because huququllah, Allah is willing to forgive if you make tawbah. But huququl ibad, if you have wronged people, you know, it's kind of funny, brother. I'll tell you, when I was new to this country, I had a roommate back in 94-95. So I was new to the country and I had no clue about how credit card works. Back in Lucknow, there was nothing like credit card in 90s. So that brother, he was a student here from a Muslim country. I will not name that country. So his studies were done and he was going back to his country for good. My roommate. So he was doing lots of shopping. And remember, in those days, 90s, there, if you are going back, you can take two big suitcases. Right? Not one. Two big suitcases and then the handbag. So each night after Isha, when I go home, I'll say, like, you know, he's coming with bags, shopping, you know. I said, hey, how are you? You know, how much are you? From where are you getting all this money? He said something, brother, 20 years have passed by, I still remember it. As if he had said yesterday. He said, no, it's all plastic money. I said, what is plastic money? So then he said, to show me his credit card. He said, I have a limit of, I think, 15,000 or 10,000, I said. And he said, I have two of them. So I'm buying, and then I'm going back home. And so they cannot come after me. So I said, you are not going to pay this back? At that time, in 95, he said, the tariq, these are Yahud, the banking in the US is run by Yahud. It's good to deceive them, it's good to cheat them. I said, brother, where did it say so? Then I told him that our Rasulullah, when he was passing away, Rasulullah had loan of a Yahudi over him. Rasulullah had borrowed some money from a Yahudi, a very small amount of money. And Rasulullah was leaving and he was concerned that how can I pay back the loan before I die. So a Sahabi came forward and he said, O Prophet Allah, your loan is my responsibility now. I will pay him back. I said, now you are going back to your country, 20,000 or 25,000 or whatever shopping you have done on this card. And he did not understand my language. He left with all those gifts for his sisters, brothers, mom, dad, uncle, everybody. My brothers and sisters, this is something that we need to understand. You see? So huququllah, brother, are important. Akhlaq is the most important thing in Islam. And akhlaq means how you interact with people and how you deal with people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you and me understand this. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.